All right. Hallelujah. We're blessed today. Amen. And as you must have heard by now, today on the Lighthouse calendar is the day that we honor our founder. Amen. So for us, today is Founders Day. Amen. And Founders Day is very important to us because it is an instruction in the Bible for us to honor our fathers. Amen. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6, let me just read that scripture to you. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 2. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 2 says, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long on earth. Amen. So the Bible teaches that longevity in life is connected to what you do with the people who gave you life. Wow. Hallelujah. Amen. That means people who disregard and who dishonor or who despise. See, the opposite of honoring someone is to despise the person. You don't even have to. You see, despisement has an element of ignoring. Do you see what I'm saying? See, despising doesn't mean or necessarily mean trampling on. You see, which is like as maybe the far end of despising something. But to just walk past something and pretend it's not there is despising. Do you see what I'm saying? To act like something you should be acknowledging or a person you should be acknowledging. You know, sometimes we get very offended. You hear people saying things like, this person saw me and didn't say hello to me. Do you see what I'm saying? And then when you try to say anything in defense of whoever it is, then the offended person will not accept it at all. And usually one of the things they say to support their position is that he was looking or he walked right past me. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah, so that's despisement. Wow. What they are complaining about is that you should have acknowledged me and you didn't. Do you understand? Now, if that even upsets you as a regular individual, then you can imagine that, or it shouldn't be difficult to understand why the scripture is saying what it's saying in the Bible. Amen. Amen. That you must honor your father and honor your mother. You must honor your father and honor your mother. And God has attached a promise to that scripture. Amen. God says that it may be well with you and that thou mayest live long on earth. Hallelujah. That if you honor your father and mother, it will be well with you. You will experience a blessed life. Hallelujah. God is promising you a good life. God is promising you well-being, isn't it? Because I want to use an expression that includes the word well. Right? So God is promising you welfare. How about that? Good welfare. That means that you will fare well, isn't it? That you will do well in life, you know, if you honor your father and mother. You know, this is a spiritual component that God adds to everything you're doing. By this time in life, you should have, or you should believe, and you should know that for whatever you do in life, there are other people who do it. Do you see? And that there is, or there seems to be, a supernatural element, which when people cannot exactly describe, or they cannot exactly name or identify, then they just attribute it to luck.
Yeah.
Right. So luck is, if you like, someone who is not spiritually, you know, educated, or who doesn't know much about spiritual things. That is their way of capturing the element in life that you can't explain or attribute to a person's education or a person's background or a person's race or nationality or family background or something like that. You see, it's like an intangible element. There's something else. We can see that there's more to what is happening than the person's education can explain. There's more to what we are seeing than the person's connections and relationships can explain. Do you see? But we don't know what it is. We can't explain it. So then we just say, this person is very what? He's very lucky, isn't it?
Wow.
Right. But the Bible is teaching us today that one of the things that makes people do well or makes people not do well is what kind of relationship they have with their mother or with their father, which is simply the person. Or your mother and father represent two things. They represent people who gave you life, people through whom you came to exist, and they also represent the people who feed you, etc.
Amen.
Now, depending on who you are, sometimes they are two different people. Do you see? Sometimes the one who brought you... Okay, I'll wait. Amen. Boo-boo, good to see you. Amen. Congratulations. Now it's real, right? Okay, right. So I'm saying that depending on who they are, everybody has two of such peoples. Or sometimes the two roles are in one person, which is that the person who brings you into life, the person who gives birth to you, is the same person who raises you. But sometimes the one who gave birth to you is different from the one who raised you, right? But the Bible is teaching that what you do with either of these people goes a long way to determine how your life will turn out. Hallelujah. That has nothing to do with education. It has nothing to do with connections. You know, there is something that can cancel the effect of a good education. There is something that can cancel. But just like we do believe that if somebody is very well educated but he's not lucky, he won't do well.
Yeah.
Isn't that what we believe?
Yeah.
Don't you believe that, Zola? Yeah? That if somebody is very well educated, someone went to all the great schools, someone graduated, you know, with the highest honors, and someone even knows or his background is really solid and shouldn't fail, and the person is failing, what do you say? You just say that this person is not lucky at all. Yeah. So what it means is that we all do believe that there is a supernatural element. You see, that is added to every physical or human effort or human natural advantage that any person may have that seems to make those advantages come alive. That seems to make the education or whatever it is that should make the person should make the person step ahead in life, you know, those things seem to be activated by some supernatural element which most people blindly call lucky. Hallelujah. But the Bible is not blind to it at all. The Bible says you will do well if you honor your father and your mother. Hallelujah. And that is true also for a church. If a church honors its father, and the father of a church is the one who founded it. Hallelujah. The opposite of that is to set him aside and to despise him, which is to walk past him as though he doesn't exist. Hallelujah. And if we do that as a church, then it will not be well with us, isn't it? And we may not live long on earth. Hallelujah. So many churches do not last because of the disconnection from the founder. That is one of the reasons why breakaway churches, you know, churches that separate and start out of bitterness and a lot of, you know, anger and so on. That is the reason why some of those churches do not flourish and do not do very well. The reason is that that kind of breakaway, that kind of severance from and disconnection from your father, you know, often disrupts the relationship between you and that father. And such people do not even want to know anything about that father. Even the pastor who ordained them, or the person who appointed them as pastor, the one who taught them, the one who instructed them, suddenly they want to have nothing to do with the person. So they do not honor the person. Maybe the person offended them or something like that. But you have to be very, very careful. You see, when you're a child growing up, your parents can offend you. Do you understand? But what a person owes to their parents is much greater than any offense that a parent can commit against them. Do you understand? So when we square it off, there's still change. Do you understand? We take what your parents have done for you, and then we take what you owe them and subtract. Do you see? Including whatever they did against you, there's still change in their favor. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah, there's still change in their favor. So no matter how you deal the cards, your parents are due just one thing from you, and that is honor. Hallelujah. And so when a pastor breaks away from the person who anointed him, the person who called him and introduced him to people as a pastor. Nobody knew you were a pastor. Somebody called you one day and then introduced you, you know, and told the whole world that you are a pastor. And people started to believe you. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. If you disconnect from such a person, or if you dishonor such a person, it will not be well with you, according to the Bible. You will unleash against your life, you know, forces and spiritual elements which will thwart and hinder your progress, such that it will never be well with you, and you may not live long on earth. You may not live long on earth. You may not live long on earth. Hallelujah. That means longevity on this earth is not only determined by LA Fitness membership. Hallelujah. Yeah. It also means that there is more to longevity on this earth than eating Nutri bars or Nutri Grain bars, or yeah, or organic food and stuff like that. Isn't it? Yeah, drinking protein shakes and things like that. Your whole life itself is being shaken, and a protein shake cannot stabilize it. Your very foundation itself is now questionable. Can I have an amen? So it is for such reasons that we as a church decide, you know, to set a day aside, which is actually our founder's birthday, just to celebrate him and to honor him and to let the whole world know that we really do appreciate this man through whom God has given us what God has given us. Amen. We're enjoying many graces and many blessings in the lighthouse. You know, yesterday, or was it on Saturday? On Saturday, one of the ladies here who has a son who schools in Switzerland, she called me, or she actually just sent me a text. She said, my son is stranded at the Zurich airport, you know, and I need someone to help him, because I think he was coming from another city in Switzerland to catch his plane in Zurich and to fly back home here. And then some situation occurred, he missed the flight. Now he was stranded. So when she sent me that text message, I just picked my phone and I also just sent a message to somebody, you know. And that person just, you know, sent me a message back and said, don't worry, the guy is sorted out. So in just a few minutes after that, the guy who was stranded himself just gave me a call. Or no, he sent me a text message himself. Said, I've been picked up, you know. And then I also sent the message to his mother, your son is okay. You know, now, you see, it's a blessing. Is it not a blessing? Do you know what a blessing is? A blessing is anything that favors your life, anything that helps your life, anything that gives you an edge, anything that puts you at an advantage, anything that saves you from trouble, anything that saves you money is a blessing. Hallelujah. Yeah, it's a blessing. You know, and who gave us such a blessing? Obviously, it didn't come from me. I'm not the one who started a church in Zurich. I'm not the one whose idea it was even to have a church in Zurich. I remember when Bishop Dag went to Zurich to start a church, and while he was there, his father died. Yeah, his father was not well, and he left his father to still go start a church. Do you understand? Then while he was in the process of putting the church together, his father passed. So unlike many people who probably can say, I was holding my father in my hand when he passed. You know, some people have such, you know, powerful testimonies of their last encounters with their lost loved ones. And some people will say, I spoke to her on Saturday, and she said, what somebody told me recently, her mother told her husband to tell her bye-bye. And then a few hours after that, her mother was dead. You know, and such people have that. But I don't think that Bishop Dag did have such an opportunity, do you see, to say bye-bye to his dad that way. And it was because he was starting a church in Zurich. So now many years later, if you come to start to benefit and to be blessed by the work that somebody has done in Zurich, and you decide to ignore such a person and to walk past him as though he doesn't exist and to say you don't really matter, you know, do you think that somebody who's roasting or selling hot dogs by the wayside, you know, just in that little cart they push to, you know, then you just walk past and just take one of the hot dogs and start to enjoy it, and you say, you don't matter. Do you think you can have peace? If you grab one of those hot dogs and you just start to enjoy it, and you say, the one who's selling it, the one through whom you came to have that hot dog, he doesn't matter. That will not give you peace. I tell you, all the police officers in this Hollywood area will be looking for you. Hallelujah. So I want to say that God has blessed us indeed. Amen. God has given us a great gift, and we call him God's great gift to us. Yes, because you will find in life that God has given certain people gifts. Somehow there are some people whose lives just pour blessings and advantages onto many other people's lives. God has just made life like that. People are not equally gifted. People are not equally endowed. People cannot always do the same things. And people's lives don't produce the same results and don't have the same effect on humanity. Do you see what I'm saying? I remember watching a documentary on Steve Jobs. And then I took particular note of a part of that documentary where he was talking about a man called, I think he was called Scully or something like that, John Scully, who used to be the CEO of Pepsi Cola, you know, and Steve Jobs wanted to, you know, bring that guy on to Apple to come and help build the company. And, you know, I'm sure everybody agrees that Apple has truly affected the whole world. Do you understand? Yeah. But anyway, he brought him on, and one of the things he told him, he asked him, when he was inviting the guy to come and work and the guy didn't want to come and the guy didn't want to come for a long time, then he told him, do you want to spend the rest of your life selling sugar water? Do you want to spend the rest of your life selling sugar water, or do you want to come and join me to change the world? You know, and I've never forgotten that, because suddenly I realized that there are some people whose lives actually do change the world in a real way. Do you understand? Yes. And if God puts you in contact with one of such people, it is a favor he has done you, and it's a blessing for your life. Because suddenly you become part of a unique or an elite team of people whose lives actually affect the world in a very strong way. Are you getting what I'm saying? People's lives are not the same. People's destinies are not the same. People's relationships are not the same. People's lives essentially change because they met you. And I believe that this is one such person. Can I have an amen? Hallelujah. So we're not, you know, doing too much. We're just doing what must be done. And what is fitting and what is appropriate. Hallelujah. And that's why we have Founders Day in our church. Amen. Now, we started Founders Day yesterday. We went down to Skid Row yesterday for outreach. So that was us yesterday. And it was great fun for us. We look forward to doing it again. Not only on Founders Day. Amen. I mean, we felt some joy just being out there. And what a blessing it is. Hallelujah. All right. But I'm awed myself. Because sometimes you're doing stuff, but you don't know how much is actually being done. Because it's in bits and pieces all over. But when you bring it all together like this, then you see what an excellent ministry God has given us. And what a great, great father and founder and pastor and bishop that God has given us. Amen. And on his birthday, we just want to wish him God's blessings. And we pray that God will strengthen him and God will anoint him more to do greater things, to go to further and further places and touch more and more lives in more and more areas. In Jesus' name, amen. Can I ask you to stand up, please, and let's say a word of prayer for our dear bishop today. I want you to say a word of prayer. I want us to just, please, if you're standing next to someone, just join hands with them and let us pray that God will keep him, God will bless him, God will protect him, protect his family, protect his ministry, and deliver him from evil. Everybody just open your mouth and just say a prayer for Bishop Dagg today. In the name of Jesus. Father, we are so grateful and we can see what you have done through Bishop Dagg's life. We can see how many lives you have touched. We can see all the great things you're doing, the souls that are being won through the crusades, the pastors who are being trained through the Bible school, the churches that are being planted all around the world. Oh God, thank you. Thank you for such great work. Thank you for choosing him and for using his life the way you have to be a blessing to people. I pray, Lord, that you will continue to bless him. We pray for an increase in strength, an increase in the anointing, in the power, in the name of Jesus, an increase, a multiplication in the grace of God upon his life. We pray, Lord, that you will bless him. Bless him, Lord. Enlarge his coast. Expand his reach in the name of Jesus. If you can use anyone, Lord, then we ask that you will use him even more to touch many, many more people. That there will be many, many more churches, many, many more congregations, many, many more gatherings of people around the world, oh God, through the work you're doing with Bishop Dagg. We thank you, Father. We pray, Lord, that he will not lack any good thing. We pray, Father, that you will supply all his need, anything he needs to continue ministering. May you supply it May you bless and favor him at all times in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Go ahead and put your hands together. I think that God has greatly blessed us and we are grateful. Amen. All right. Are you blessed? Okay, I'm going to ask the choir to come up and sing us another song, and then we will also cut a cake and just as part of our celebration of the day. Amen. Clap for these people as they come up. Clap for them. Today you're not clapping properly. Can you? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All right. Okay. So we're just continuing and just about wrapping up. I want to share with you just two verses additionally. Amen. The first one is from Romans chapter 13 and verse 7. Romans chapter 13 and verse 7. I think we're already blessed, isn't it? We're already blessed. I already shared a bit with you at the beginning. So let me just top up with this, like you would sprinkle chocolate on some ice cream and just so it looks good. Amen. Right. So Romans chapter 13 and verse 7, the Bible says, render therefore to all their dues. That means give to everyone what is due them. Hallelujah. The reason why you can have a case against your employer when you work for him and he doesn't pay you is because it is due you. Do you understand? It is not right to deprive someone of what is their due. When you ask someone to come to work for you for 8 hours a day and you agree to give them X amount of money for the time they spent working for you, when the time is up, when they've done their work, they're due their pay. Amen. Because of that, you can actually take them to court and have a case against them and be successful, actually, because it is right. It is what they're due, and they have a right to demand it. Amen. It's in the Bible. It says, render therefore to all their dues. Give everyone what is due them. Amen. Tribute to whom tribute is due. That means pay tribute to the one to whom tribute is due. Amen. And custom to whom custom. Custom to the one custom is due. Hallelujah. Some of us come from countries where to marry someone, you have to perform a customary rite. Well, the Bible says, if a customary rite is due, perform it. You understand? You don't just meet a lady in the street and then tell her some sweet words and bring her home to live with you. And she came along, so you assume she's free. Do you understand? Well, the lady may not mind, but her father and mother may mind. There's a custom you must render unto them, and it's their due. So the Bible says, perform customs to the ones customs are due. Amen. Then fear to whom fear is due. But the Bible says we must give honor to whom honor is due. Amen. Honor to whom honor is due. Now, the scripture also says that when elders or leaders rule well, do you understand? When they rule well or when they lead well, because not all leaders lead well. Hallelujah. Now, when you have a church like ours that keeps growing and the church multiplies up to 2,000 times, you know, 2,000 times means you do something and repeat it 2,000 times. Now think of how sophisticated it is even to run a small business. You know, a small business, just you and a part-time employee, you know. And it's not easy. It's complex. If you know the statistics about the number of businesses that start and fail, you'll be surprised that actually for every business you see standing, there are so many other businesses like it that attempted to set up, which did not work out. Hallelujah. So it takes something to set up any organization or to set up any institution and to be successful at it. Hallelujah. Now, to repeat it 2,000 times, to repeat it, to do the same thing successfully 2,000 times, calls for only the purest kind of leadership. Do you understand? It has to be leadership that rises to a very high level. You have to rule well. You have to be an elder who leads well. Amen. Now, when we find such people, according to 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 17, 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 17, the Bible says, let's read it real quick. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor. Everybody say double honor. It says, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. Hallelujah. So the summary of this is, when you find a pastor who leads well, you must double the honor. Hallelujah. That's what the Bible is saying. Because he says, anybody who is in leadership, elder is for leadership. Amen. Elders who rule well, you have to be a leader to rule, isn't it? So elders who rule well must be counted worthy. They qualify. They deserve it. It is their due. Worthy of double honor. You must honor them twice over. Amen. Especially the ones who are preachers and teachers of the Bible, the Word of God. Hallelujah. So we believe that our church has a great leader.
Amen.
Amen. You don't have to agree with it, but we believe it. Hallelujah. We believe that God has blessed us with such excellent leadership. God has blessed us with one of the greatest leaders of our time. Someone who started this church a few years ago from a very obscure part of the world, you know, and has taken this church all the way out. Even today, we're meeting right here in Hollywood. I believe that it is evidence that someone is doing something right. Hallelujah. And therefore, they are worthy. He says they qualify for double honor. Hallelujah. But the thing about honor is that, you see, that's why the Bible says they qualify for it. Because you can't take it upon yourself. Do you understand? So the Bible can give us the grounds on which you qualify. Then it has to be given to you. Hallelujah. Somebody has to give you that honor. And that is why we as a church must be careful to give honor to the one whom honor is due. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
And that is important because of this last verse, Luke chapter 16 and verse 12. Luke chapter 16 and verse 12 says that if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? Hallelujah. If ye have not been faithful, that means if you have not been trustworthy, if you have not been reliable in that which is another man's. So there are things that belong to men. There is stuff that belongs to God, like the glory. Amen. Like the glory for everything we saw on the video belongs to who?
God.
It belongs to God. It doesn't belong to Bishop Dad. It belongs to God. God is the one working behind all of this. God is the one doing all of this. Bishop Dag is a man. He's not the one doing all of this. God is the one behind it. So the glory belongs to God. But the honor that we are talking about here is an honor that belongs to a man.
Wow.
Do you understand? We shouldn't get too religious to say, oh, it's just a man, it's just a man. You see, God uses men. And much as God would like to use people, the state in which he finds the people also determines whether he can use them or not. Do you see what I'm saying? Have you ever picked up a glass you wanted to use to serve someone and you had to set it down because it was not very clean inside? So you take the glass, you want to use it to serve someone. You want to use it to be a blessing to someone. You want to use it to quench someone's thirst. You want to use it to change somebody's life. But the state in which you find the glass makes you have to choose some other glass, something that has preserved itself, something that is cleaner, or something like that. Same thing. So God has a lot of people he could use. But it is also a man who makes himself available to God that God is able to use to a certain degree. Are you following what I'm saying? So that's where the man gets his honor from. Hallelujah. That's where the man gets his honor. He gets his honor from the fact that he was able to present himself, you know, to give up what he has to give up, to stay away from what he has to stay away from in order for God to be able to use him as much as he has used him. Hallelujah. So these three verses are very important. You must never forget them. These are three Founders Day verses. Wow. Well, four of them. The first one was Ephesians chapter 6, right? The second one is Romans 13 and 7, which says, give honor, give to everyone what is their due. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Respect someone if it is his due. Yeah. Amen? If someone has a job that requires you to respect him, the Bible says, give it to him because it is his due. Now, if you form a habit of not giving to people what belongs to them, then this is the scripture that comes after you. This last scripture we just read. Can you go back to it? The last scripture that we just read, Luke chapter 16 and verse 7. This is the scripture that works against you when you get into a habit of depriving people of what belongs to them. When someone is due something and you always find some reason to explain it away and some reason to trivialize it, some reason to make it into nothing and to rubbish it and to make it look like some people are just being, you know, just in my country, they say you're doing too much. Do you understand what I'm saying? When you always find a way to just nullify what people do, then this is the scripture that comes after you. It says, if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? Now, this is one of the reasons why people don't prosper. This is one of the reasons why people cannot become anything significant. This is one of the reasons why people cannot get promoted. Because you are not faithful in that which belongs to another man. When someone is due something, you don't think they qualify for it. When someone is due honor, you always raise questions and arguments and so many things that just tear down the honor, and therefore the person doesn't receive what rightfully belongs to him. So when it gets to your turn also, you cannot have what you're supposed to have. When someone gives back to you and raises you, that person deserves your respect. When someone works, you live in the person's house, the person works and feeds you. You know, you take showers on his pockets, long ones too. You know, you eat everything in the fridge. You drink the milk even when it's the last one. You don't even think about how they get it. You sleep, you leave the lights on, you leave the lights on, leave the heaters on, the air conditioners on, and somebody is paying for it. That person deserves some respect from you. Oh, yes. That person deserves some respect. That there are certain things you shouldn't say to such a person. There are certain thoughts they may occur to you, but you should never verbalize such a thing in front of someone like that. You should watch out, because if you don't do it, if you don't render to someone when respect is due them, you do not give them their respect, and you find some reason or some fault with them or something they don't do right or some imperfection or something, which ultimately is just human. about the person, and you stand on that to deprive them of what belongs to them, expect that when it's your turn, you will also not receive what belongs to you. Don't be surprised if you spend hours and hours working on a project and somebody looks at it and just tosses it. When credit is due you and someone just looks at it and just tosses it in the garbage. And someone just draws a line through it and says, rubbish. They even delete it like you never worked. Don't be surprised when you are due promotion and someone thinks you don't. When you've been working in a place for 5 years, for 10 years, at the same position, at the same salary, and you think it's about time, in fact, you think it's way past time that your pay rate at least should go up a little bit. Something must change. Because sometimes you look at people who came after you, and they seem to be faring better than you, who has been there a long time. You will not understand the dynamics. What exactly is making things work out or pan out the way they're panning out? And that's when you start to realize that there are spiritual factors that are against you. You have refused to give to someone their honor. You have refused to give to someone their respect. You've refused to give to someone something that is due them. An elder who ruled well did not even get honor from you, let alone double the honor. When the Bible says he deserves double honor, a parent who took care of you didn't get anything from you. Rather, they got insults, they got trouble, they got fights, they got headaches. You are the reason why the person who took care of you has high blood pressure now. Now their lives are in danger because they took care of you. How can it be that when it's time for you to live, when it's your turn to be respected? Because you know, you will also be due something at some point. Your day is coming when you also be due something. You also become a boss. You become a supervisor. And you realize that in this position, I'm also due something. Even a parking spot. If nothing at all, just a parking spot. And you'll be surprised that even something as little as a parking spot, every day when you get there, someone has parked his car there. Because you won't give to people what is their due. What makes you qualify for what is your due? You see, the parking spot is there with your name on it. And yet you come and somebody has parked his car there. One brother told me recently that he came and found a bump on his car and a key scratch on the side of his car. Because he went to park his car and left it where somebody, I don't know if it was somebody's parking spot or driveway or what. He put his car there and just left it and went somewhere. He wouldn't give to the person what is his due. And when he came back, the person had used a key to scratch alongside the broad side of his car and had either kicked the bumper in or done something to it. The brother wasn't happy, but that is how it ended up. Hallelujah. If we want to live full and meaningful lives, if we want to receive that which is our own, because a time comes when something now belongs to you, a position now belongs to you, a pay raise now belongs to you, some honor belongs to you, some respect belongs to you, even some prosperity belongs to you, even good health, a time comes when it's now time for you also to enjoy a break from chronic illness and chronic sickness, chronic visits to hospital. You qualify for it, but remember, qualifying for it alone does not give it to you. Qualifying for something alone does not give it to you. It has to be given to you after you qualify for it. And what releases it into your hands is what you do with that which belongs to others, which is in your hand. Hallelujah. So this is why we're honoring Bishop Dag today. And we are grateful to the Lord that he has given us such an opportunity. Amen. Stand to your feet and let's say a word of prayer. I think that was a short enough sermon, isn't it? Praise the Lord. Amen. Right, let's just bow our heads, everybody, and let's pray. As we close this service today, every eye closed, please. As we close this service today, I want to give you an opportunity if you're here today and you do not know Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. It's all about Jesus. We may be celebrating a man today, but the truth is what we are celebrating is what Jesus has done in him. And Jesus can begin to do something in your life also. Just as Jesus took an ordinary person and has taken his life all the way to the top and has started to use him to reach people throughout the world, God is also interested in your life. If you will give him the chance, God will begin his project with your life today. God wants to start something in your life today. The only thing that will come between him and you is your sins. Our sins always separate us from God. Our sins always come between us and a holy God. And because we are helpless, we can't help but sin. Because we're helpless in our state, it has taken the same God to reach out to us by sending his only begotten Son to die for us, so that his blood can wash us and cleanse us from our sins. The blood of Jesus is available today. The blood of Jesus is able to make you whole. It's able to wash you no matter what the situation is. No matter where you're coming from. No matter how deep the wounds are. No matter what it is and the state in which your life is. The blood of Jesus is the ultimate cure. The blood of Jesus is the ultimate cure. Someone wrote a song and said, "What can wash away my sins?" The answer is nothing but the blood of Jesus. So I want to give you an opportunity today to at least begin your relationship with God by receiving Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. And so while every eye is closed this afternoon, and while every head is bowed, I want you to raise up your right hand quietly if you're saying in your heart, "Pastor, I want that relationship with God today." If you're saying in your heart, "Jesus, I want that relationship with you today. I want the blood of Jesus to wash me and to cleanse me, to be applied to my life so I can be new. And I can be complete. So I can start a new relationship with God." If that's your prayer, just lift up your right hand. God bless you. I see your hand. Just keep it up. There's nothing to be ashamed of. We're talking about the beginning of the rest of your life. Phase 2 of your life. The beginning of the rest of your life. We're talking about having a genuine relationship with God. Keep your hand up. I just want to see it and I'll pray for you. I see some hands. God bless you. Is there anybody else? I just want to give you that opportunity. Don't let today pass you by. This is an opportunity. This is an opportunity. It's a chance for you. Don't turn it down. It's a chance for you. Is there anybody else who wants this relationship with Jesus today? Right. Now, those of you with your hand up, I want you to join me as we say this prayer together. And I want everybody else really to join us together as we say this prayer. Just keep your hand up, but just say this prayer with me. And just say, "Lord Jesus."
Lord Jesus.
Say, "Lord Jesus."
Lord Jesus.
I thank you for dying for me.
I thank you for dying for me.
I believe it was because of me.
I believe it was because of me.
That you went to the cross.
To shed your blood.
Oh Jesus. I acknowledge I'm a sinner.
I know that I need you.
Let your blood wash me.
Let your blood cleanse me.
Oh Jesus, let your blood wash me.
Let your blood cleanse me
from all sin, from all unrighteousness and make me a child of God. Oh Jesus, thank you, Lord. Say, devil,
you are not my master.
From today, I refuse to serve you. I refuse to serve you from today. Say, Jesus is the Lord of my life. Jesus is the master of my life. And Jesus is the Savior of my life. Say, thank you, Jesus, for my salvation. Amen. Now, let me pray for you. Let me pray for you. Father, I thank you for anyone who said this prayer with meaning. Because you do not look on the outward appearance like we do. You look at the heart. And so, in the hearts of the people assembled here today, wherever you find sincerity and genuineness where this prayer is concerned, Lord, may you answer and may you save in Jesus' name. Wash us by your blood. Cleanse us, Lord, and give us a chance to live for you. We pray, Lord, that these ones will be established and rooted in Christ Jesus. And I pray especially today that as we watch the testimony of Bishop Dag and the story of his life, how you can take an ordinary person who turns his life over to you and turn it into a great influential life that touches so many lives, that changes so many lives. I pray that you will take these lives and do whatever you need to do with these lives in order to make them usable by you. Whatever you need to do with any of us, Lord, do it, Lord, so that you can use us for your glory. We thank you for your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. God bless you, and you may be seated.